Good evening and welcome to the Village of CarMax Council meeting, Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026, agenda 26-05. Respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting today on the traditional territory of the Little Sam and CarMax First Nation. 7 o'clock, I'll call the meeting to order. Councillor Hansen sends her regrets. Do we have a motion for the agenda?
If we could just make an amendment, addition to 8.7, meeting with the minister, meeting with ministers, Belmore.
Any other additions?
Make a motion to adopt the agenda as amended. I'll second it.
All in favor? Yeah. Passes. Adoption of minutes for the regular meeting of February 17th, 2026.
I'll make the motion.
Do we have a second here?
I'll second it.
All in favor? Thank you. That passes. Allegations, RCMP. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for having me. We have a decent amount to go through. Trying to throw you too much, but I've got 2 months worth of policing reports here. First, I'll introduce my partner here. This is Corporal Lyndon Green, all the way from Ontario. He's joining us for 1 month of relief. He'll be here until about mid-March, so maybe another week and a half-ish, and then he takes off. So if you've seen anyone out pulling vehicles over along the highway, it's probably him. He's been pretty active, especially on the speed enforcement side of things. So he wanted to tag along tonight. He was a detachment commander in the north before being in his current post right now. And yeah, it's been a pleasure to have him here. Just wanted to bring him along, introduce you.
Well, welcome to CarMax.
Thank you.
Yeah. Winterlude is coming up, so be lots of activities for you to come and see, check out the rec center.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's
Saturday.
Saturday. Okay. Yeah. Lovely. Good to know.
Pancake breakfast.
What time?
Oh, it starts in the morning around
all day.
Yeah.
And there's a hockey tournament too on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
4-on-4.
Perfect. Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know. All right. Well, we'll jump into January here. Both months in particular, there's nothing too crazy that happened. We've definitely had more wilder starts to the year than we had this year, but I think the cold sort of plays a huge part in that. We've had usual cold stretches. So that said, we did actually have an increase in calls year over year, mostly on the disturbance of peace, mischief category, and that can be attributed almost entirely to a single person and a lot of files that took place at the attachment center and hotel during that time. That has since been resolved, and this individual is no longer living at the hotel and has since moved back to their own home. It was just a displacement issue and a bit of a unfortunate accommodations being right next to the liquor store that caused a big uptick in files and a lot of presence for us at the attachment center. Luckily, nothing too bad happened, more nuisance related than anything. So, yeah, aside from that, we had a relatively tame month for January. Lots of warning tickets. We were out doing patrols when we could. I know a lot of times Greg was out there giving people jumps, helping people dig themselves out of ditches, whatever it may be. We've been doing a lot of assistance work that isn't necessarily captured in our stats, but
he also needed there. A little assistance.
He also needed a little assistance. I understand there's a great picture of him on Facebook smiling in the ditch. So, yeah, it goes both ways, I guess. We give. Actually, I think it was you. You gave him the assistance.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a bigger part of the month. Also, this month here, it was just more assists and stuff that isn't necessarily captured in the stats. But the other sort of notable occurrence was we had a call from a community member who was hiking the Plume Trail, and her dog wandered off into the woods just slightly and happened to get caught in a bear trap. Caught a bear. Luckily, the dog survived. No major injuries. We were able to hike the trail to the very top and get the dog out. And yeah, we were able to reset the trap. All good. Thankfully, Greg has taken a trap line course and had some knowledge and was able to release the trap. But that was one of the more interesting things that happened. I won't talk about the bottom part with the performance plan because that's my end piece. If you have any specific questions about January, let me know. Otherwise, I'm just going to move on to February. So, jumping right in. So again, it was probably the least amount of calls that I've seen in a month in CarMax in my 3.5 years here. So, quite thankful for that because I had a lot of paperwork and stuff to take care of. So that worked out quite well. One thing I will note is that we did have a lot of mental health occurrences where people were making, you know, threats of suicide or self-harm. Fortunately, in all of those instances, we were able to find those people and bring them to the health center or to receive the care that they needed at the time. Most of that is due to, actually all of it was due to just excessive drinking. Like that's sort of what sparked it. So those individuals were also recommended to local supports as well as other supports outside of the territory that they could access. Aside from that, I mentioned that Corporal Green here has been doing a lot of traffic work. We were able to do some check stops in and around the community as well, utilizing mandatory alcohol screening. I know Greg and Mark, and I believe Lyndon as well, were at the Bonspiel going in and out, karaoke, the licensed areas, just making sure that everything is okay. And unlike last year, the event went off without a hitch and no major issues were reported, which is fantastic. It's such a good event. And it was spoiled last year by someone who has some impulse control issues, but luckily this year that wasn't the case. So that was good. Other than that, we attended a bunch of Pink Shirt Day events, and Greg gave 3 bullying presentations to 3 different age groups at the school at their request. In addition, I believe he did another sort of presentation with social services at the Heritage Hall, I think. We were also at Heritage Day, which was great. I got to be called upon as a judge of moose and wolf calls. Not sure if my expertise were put to good use there, but I called it as I saw it.
Something caught your ear, right?
Something caught my ear, and it sounded to me, I just closed my eyes. Okay, that sounds like a nice wolf call. Okay, perfect. This got first prize. So, anyways, it was a good month. No major issues. Major issues. We did have a stabbing, but as far as stabbings go, it was on the minor scale of things. It was probably closer to a superficial wound than it would be considered a serious one. Both of the individuals released the accused, and then the other one was shipped out of the community for safety reasons, just to prevent further issues. And then I'm not going to talk that part. I'm going to talk about the annual performance plan instead. So every year we do our annual performance plan, which is basically what we're going to focus on through the fiscal year. So our fiscal year runs April through April. Usually it doesn't change too much, but we do take input throughout the year and while we're doing the planning process to sort of adjust what service we give to the community. Some communities like different things. I know last year speed was brought up as an issue by both the Village of CarMax and the First Nation. So this year in particular, under our road safety, the objective is to do more speed enforcement. So I'm gone, but I would encourage you to keep the members held to account on that. So the idea is that every month in the monthly report, it'll be a reporting line so that we can tell you guys, hey, we were doing speed enforcement on River Drive and over in Swanwick in this area. So that way you can say, hey, I haven't seen you guys out. We're supposed to be giving you guys specific numbers about how much speed enforcement we're doing. We want to make sure, because that was brought up by both governing bodies, that we're making that a priority for us. Other than that, it's the sort of standard stuff. So proactive traffic operations, that could be check stops, it could be laser ops, radar ops, that kind of thing. And then patrols. So the number I have down is between 730 to 1,000 patrols a year, which represents at minimum 2 per shift per member. That just basically gets us out on the road and make sure that the members aren't just sitting in the office all the time. So those are numbers and objectives that you guys can hold us to account to. That's what we're going to report back to you in the coming year. The next one is, again, one that's pretty much always on the performance plan, which is crime reduction, specifically drugs and alcohol. So reducing substance abuse. So that's going to involve doing checks at the licensed premises, so the bar, any ones that pop up, like the rec center, that kind of thing, just making sure that things stay in check throughout the year. And then it would include also potentially doing presentations. So in the past, we've agreed to do presentations at the school or Wellness Week or, you know, various things that put on. So if the village puts on something specific, we're happy to attend and do an education piece if need be. Third is another standard one, and that's just outreach and engagement. Something that I think we've sort of become known for is the fact that, you know, Greg is especially involved in the community and youth. Our goal is to keep that standard high. Make sure we're attending any VOC events, any LSCFN events. Make sure we're at the school more regular than not. Sort of keep bridging the gap between youth and police, that kind of thing. It's been working out thus far. We've had very little youth crime in my time here. Maybe I can maybe name a few instances. So I think just the attendance at school and the familiarity with the kids and the fact that we just have a good crop of kids, it's helping. And last, sort of an unfortunate one. I felt weird even typing this, but we're doing an emergency preparedness objective here, and that's going to be critical instances in schools. So given what recently happened with the Tumbler Ridge incident and what happened last year where we had a lockdown drill at the school, I felt it important to include an objective where we do to minimum 1 to 2 lockdown drills at the school per year, just to make sure that the students and staff are well aware of what to expect during those drills. So in the unfortunate event, if we ever have to do anything, everyone is prepared. Again, felt weird to put that in there, but we live in weird times, so it's something we have to do.
I think very important.
Yeah,
there was a guy walking around with a gun at the admin buildings with the First Nation, and nobody knew what to do. No one even called the daycare. Everyone just got in their cars and left.
Is that recently?
No, it was a couple years ago.
Okay.
But I know it was, but it was kind of weird because it was like, that was everyone's first thought was like, oh, we're just going to evacuate the whole area. And everyone got in their cars and left. And I wasn't at work. I was at the last day of my holidays. And the person acting for me is like, so I just brought all the kids into the staff room because it doesn't have any windows. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
I never even heard about this. I didn't even know.
Oh, it was years ago. It was.
I've been here 46 like, years. Yeah.
It's good to know. And it might be something you want to bring up with the new detachment commander as well, if you wanted
just
to do
to have
the daycare.
Emergency
well.
Plans of this. It's like 20 kids that are 4 and under. It's always good to have some kind of emergency plans that everyone's aware of.
Mm-hmm. And just speaking on the plan, last year when we did the lockdown drill with the school, the kids actually did really well. So we ended up simulating like someone banging on the doors and, you know, open up the door, that kind of thing. We were calling cell phones randomly to see if anyone, make sure everyone had turned off their volume, that kind of thing. We're looking in all of the windows as well to make sure that they were in the corners, that like their full blind spots. So just things like that, that maybe the staff would be good to know. So if you want to see something like that at the daycare, then please, we're more than happy. So
it's more of having the staff Aired and aware.
Yes, the staff aware. And that
those kids aren't going to listen.
No. Yeah, fair enough.
They're like, Candy, follow me.
If the staff are aware of where to corral them, then yeah. I think that would benefit everyone. Yeah, so
we're going to work dressed like that. Poach on. Yeah. Bulletproof. Gun, taser.
But in a nutshell, that is our performance plan. If you have any specific questions about it, I'm definitely happy to answer. But if not, I'll move on to the final thing, which I'm pretty sure everyone is aware of. But this is my my last meeting with you folks. Unfortunately, family and I are headed east.
I jinxed you.
So, yeah, I know we talked about it fairly recently, and then all the developments sort of happened rather quickly for me. Mm-hmm. I got the word. Next thing you know, I was being shipped off to Nova Scotia to buy a house, and now I'm back here sort of just doing all my wrap-up stuff. So,
but that's home, right?
Oh, Nova Scotia's home. Both sets of grandparents are there. We have three kids now, and they see their grandparents once a year. So it was strictly a family decision. We love CarMax, we love the Yukon, and we're not running away from here. We would have happily stayed longer. It's just we truly felt that we needed to get home and let the grandparents be grandparents. So that's it. It's not the best. I don't know, Mounties sort of come and go. It's pretty common, but I just want to impress upon you guys how much I've really enjoyed being in CarMax and working with all of you. You're all fantastic people. I've done this job similarly in Dawson and Fort Chippewa in Alberta, and never have I been to such like an open community where the leadership is so approachable, easy to get along with, easy to work with, and yeah, it just speaks volumes to you guys and all the work that you do. So CarMax is a great community. It's because of people like you. That's it. A little long
winded. It's going to make me cry. Stop.
A little long winded tonight, but yeah.
Well, thank you, Corporal McNeil, for your service to the Village of CarMax and LSCFN and the community as a whole. It's really appreciated. Yeah. We'll definitely keep in touch and yeah. Look forward to you coming back and seeing your kids grow up and visiting.
So, yeah. All right.
You'll be missed. We'll miss you.
I think so.
This is the family at the church and everywhere else.
You'll miss my singing voice at the church.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right. You folks have a good rest of your evening.
Me too.
Thank you.
Take care.
Meeting you all.
You too.
Nice meeting you. See you this weekend.
Yeah.
Pancake breakfast.
There you go. See you. All right.
I got a little watery.
Oh, GS was helping with my Spanish.
Moving along. Correspondence, not seeing any. Jump into council activity reports. As I said, Councilor Hanson sends her regrets. Councilor Mitchell.
I got nothing to report.
Councilor Belanger.
I have nothing to report.
Councilor Luna.
No, just some kudos to the health center. We're really lucky.
Yeah.
It would be nice to have a bigger health center. Mm-hmm. But yes, we're very fortunate to be able to get in and out when we need to.
Sorry. Nothing else.
Thank you, Councillor. Jump into my report. As Corporal McNeil said, it was Pink Shirt Day, Anti-Bullying Day on February 25th. I did receive a pink shirt. I was busy that day plowing snow, but was able to see from afar that everybody was, you know, having fun and, you know, standing up for what was right and not bullying each other. Also attended on February 26th, that was last Thursday, the school, Tantalus School's science fair as a judge. It was good to see the innovation of all the students. There was from grade, I'm pretty sure it was grade 4 up to 12. So all their ideas, all their science projects. There was two individuals that got selected to go to Whitehorse, to the big science fair there. Really nice to see everybody there with all their ideas. The other thing I'm looking forward to here, I have seen that we're hosting Upper Canada College coming back here to the rec center, so it's nice to see familiar faces. This would be their, I believe, their fourth year coming here. Yeah, so you'll see them in the community. They go to the school, they meet the kids, they're at the rec center, they're helping. They like to go around and learn as much as they can, so they might come here to the office and meet some of you. If you're around or on the street and you see them, please share some stories of CarMax with them. And yeah.
I heard they're going to be putting on hockey and soccer camps.
Yeah, they have a wide range of athletes that go to that school that bring all that here. So yeah, the kids really enjoy it too. Yeah, looking forward to Winterlude, obviously, as mentioned. Pancake breakfast, counselors, if you're available to help. I don't know, but Jens and Annette will be there. Craig,
AYC board meeting.
huh? Are you guys taking? How do I know?
We'll be there.
Yeah.
What day?
I thought one year. Last
It's
year?
this sat is this Saturday, right?
Yeah.
This Saturday. Do we know what time? It starts at like 10. So it's
10.
10. Yeah. Breakfast. So yeah. Looking forward to seeing everybody down there.
I'll forget. I guarantee you'll forget. Oh, I won't be there. I'm going straight to
I
weekend.
think you told
Yeah,
us that.
I forgot because I got to work right through.
We'll save you a plate. You can stop in with the truck.
Hopefully, it's stop snowing, Jen.
Well, if it's not cold, it snows. That's the winter so far.
Yeah. The clouds came in. Like.
I would like to pick up kind of like where Corporal McNeil said, well, in January, February, now in March, the cold weather, helping people, like you said, just seeing people in distress or making those phone calls. I know I had a phone call with Terry Hanlon there, just checking on people. Like they might live in an area where they don't get as much notice of being in need or whatever, but it is good to check in on some people, and they really appreciate that. Just like to thank the community again for helping each other out. And that's all I have. And we'll jump into CAO report.
Okay, thank you. A few important dates, and we'll add it. So we have this at the in the other business as well too, about the meeting with Minister Balmore. So touch on that point. Just continuing to do orientation in the CAO role, so just familiarizing myself with the key projects, files, and systems, talking to residents about various topics relating to the community, meetings and correspondence. So I had a meeting with all department heads last week, and so we had a chance to be able to just do a bit of a roundtable, how things are going in different departments, and just coordinating so we can kind of coordinate on some of the more technical stuff. POS systems, for example, we just installed a new POS system today called Lightspeed. So we'll be just trying to get everything kind of synced up. Had a call with LSCFN Executive Director last week as well too. We're going to start talking a bit about kind of picking up on the last council meeting about strategic community engagement and what that might look like for DMAF. So we kind of just wanted to kind of do a little bit of a sounding board session to see kind of what that might look like, and we can bring some of our recommendations to the joint council meeting when we connect. In-person meeting with Department of Community Services. So I had a chance to meet with Sam. Talked about the just prep for the minister's meeting. Also had a chance to meet Damien, the new DM. Really, really good guy, it seems like. So yeah. Also an ADM, Rebecca. I'm trying to remember her last name. I worked with her at climate change, the climate change secretariat. So that's a really good bunch there.
Fair enough.
And then in-person meeting with our Scotiabank senior advisor, who wanted us to let us know that we could make a bit more money on redeemable GICs if we wanted to move more into kind of quick turnaround GICs. So we'll talk about that maybe a little bit later, but another thing there. Had a great one-on-one meeting with David a few days ago, and that was he went over the performance plan that he mentioned to you as well too, and just we had a chat about kind of some of his perspectives about as he's kind of winding up his time here. One thing that was discussed, and it might be worth a bigger discussion in a later time, is just kind of how things that the village may want to consider in terms of bylaw creation to help bridge the gap, any gaps between municipal and RCMP. So some of the things that may not be able to be addressed as well as they could be if but there may be some things that the municipality might be able to do in terms of being able to help with some of those things. One example that was mentioned is and again we can I don't want to go down a rabbit hole with this, but about taxis as you know shipping drugs into the community, and just kind of there could be some a bylaw around that, you know, having a more stringent requirements for license for taxis coming out from Whitehorse and what that might mean for, you know, business licensing, kind of having making sure that they have are up to code, you know. Anyway, there's a few different ideas I think that are worth looking at if we kind of look at it through a broader policy lens at some point.
That would be something that when we revise the bylaws to make sure we keep note on those types of things to bring them up to the public and get to the council when those get revised.
Yeah, sounds good.
Or reviewed, should say.
Weight scale inspection. So we just did a reso. Jens was kind enough to bring me over to the landfill. I had a chance to meet the crew over there, and we met with YG and Castle Rock Public Works here there. Was it a pre-inspection or yeah?
Walk school kind of, yeah.
Yeah. So it was nice to be able to just see that part of town, kind of the part of the village. So, and then the other thing I'll kind of mention a little bit on this is the Arctic Security Forum. So I had a chance to attend part of this last week. There was key information obtained about identifying threats and opportunities, potential partnerships, networking with representatives from industry, government, and educational institutions. There's all these sessions were recorded, and so because I attended, we'll have access to all the recordings once they're released. And there are sessions that I didn't see that I'm really interested in seeing, like General Wayne Ayer's presentation on the external threat analysis. Apparently it was quite scary, according to some people. So it would be yeah, good to I can share that link once those recordings are released. So I will say just on some of the key takeaways, and I'm happy to talk to people about this afterwards as well too, but I think a lot of the big takeaways is that there's this is probably coming as no surprise, but there's a lot of catch up being played right now in terms of military infrastructure. We're, you know, behind 30, 40 years in some instances in terms of actually trying to build up infrastructure to support military presence here and just, you know, security in general. Security was defined with a broad brush, so it's not just military, but also talk about food security. It's talking about, you know, economic security, communications, making sure that there's the right information is getting out. That you know, there we do have a bit of a war on facts right now, so it's and the North is even more hazy just because it is where it is, and so. There's a this is all coming though at the same time that we're dealing with a global financial crunch. So there's a lot of belt tightening, there's a lot of issues with runaway budgets and whatnot. So I think a core message was basically that there's not a lot of money out there, and that a lot of calls for the federal government to ante up and ways to try to access different capital from different places. So there's it was I found it to be really really helpful from a municipal point of view. One of the sessions that I was at, there was a lot of discussion about launching new projects in different places, a lot of excitement about that. But I raised the question, you know, once this money comes through and these projects are built, who's responsible for the O&M and how is that going to get addressed? And I think that's still there's not really a clear answer on some of that. So I think that if there's anything I learned in the last 4 weeks being here, it's that it's important to make sure that that piece of the equation is covered. So hopefully
that's a great question. Like you said, we had a conversation, but those are some of the questions we bring up to at FCM. So make sure you're, yeah.
Perfect. All right. Great. So yeah, like I said, I'm happy to chat with people if people are interested about this, but I won't take away any more time on this one.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody have any questions for Blake on his report?
Don't ever ask me to chat. You'll never get back to work.
Thank you, Blake. Moving along, finance report. Annette.
Can just
always you want to do
just
finance and administration report February for 2026 expenditure summary report for February 2026 is attached to the council's review bank. For this month will be completed once statements are ready. Okay, so income statement covering the period from January 1st to February 28th is attached. The audit. So interim audit is currently underway. Supporting documentation is being submitted on an ongoing basis with materials provided almost daily. The tax lien summary, the TL2 notice was published in the Yukon News February 13th, 2026. Then posted on notice board at the Village of CarMax building. Since publication, two property owners have made payments. There are currently four property owners remaining in arrears. Housing Accelerator Fund half. The Village has been approved for the third installment of the half funding. The funds are expected to be received within the next few days. Wow.
We actually got them on Friday. Yeah, Friday.
Yeah, they're done.
Yeah, after tomorrow.
That's good news.
Yeah.
Point of sale. So the POS system, like Blake was discussing, has to replace the current one with Lightspeed, as the system implemented last year has not met operational requirements. Lightspeed offers improvements, functionality, integration with the recreation booking software, which will streamline processes, eliminate third-party integration fees. Yeah, that's great. The upgrade will improve efficiency, reporting, and customer service while reducing ongoing costs. Thank you very much, Annette. Just the check log here, income statement is first. Any questions regarding income statement or the check log?
I won't complain about my electric bill to work.
Yeah, it is quite the bill, but that's for all the buildings. I have a bit of a question. I know I think I've asked this a couple times before. Like, I know you have it lined here, like from AFD petroleum heating fuel for various locations. Are we tracking the amounts that are at specific locations, like just as an energy thing to see what buildings use what?
No, not at the moment, but I can start maybe. Yeah, that's a
I think that might be a good thing to have in the future. Just like
have a seat stool.
Yeah.
Where some of the funds are going to which building. So if there's decisions that have to be made on those systems, we would know specifics on that. Yeah.
I'll make a motion to file the check log for informational purposes.
You have a seconder?
I'll second it.
All in favor? Thank you. Passes. Okay, moving along here. Public Works General Manager, Janice. You have the floor. You want me to read your opening statement here, gents? Well, can you just read the report for you, or are you going to give it to me? Okay. I'd like to give you the opportunity. So thank you, gents, for your report. Water treatment plant. The flow rates operating standard capacity with no fluctuations. But these are the type of flow rates that are coming from the, like, the sewer system, the collection system? Like, okay.
Not the other thing.
So it's like everything's frozen. We're not getting water. It's pretty normal operations.
Okay.
Would the measurements be like zero range, or are you getting something?
We get
like liters or
0.4 to 0.7.
Yeah. Arena and recreation like operating with normal parameters, nothing with no reported issues. Recreation ability, it's open for scheduled activities. Everything's normal. Landfill. So the new attendant shed has successfully completed its final inspection. Selection system status operating with normal parameters with no reported concerns. Duplex system functionality operating with normal parameters. It'd be pretty cold in there. If it's... Equipment. So the equipment, the Kubota, had broken down and was fixed in-house. Recycling facility. Sorting, shredding, and baling systems are partly operational. The furnace was repaired. What's partially operational mean, gents? For shredding baling systems.
Because sometimes it's beta has some oil leak.
Oh, like the hydraulics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the wood one.
Is there what's the relief process like on something like that? Or if it breaks down, we have no other options. Like we would be hand pressing them or what?
Probably. Or just
You know the amount of hassling the minister to get that bailer? It was like 2 years of reminding Minister Stryker, promise us a bailer. You promise us a bailer. Every time we saw him, 2 years.
Old Fire Hall facility status, all systems and services are functioning smoothly. No issues reported. So it's great to see that the boilers holding up.
I have to. Was there someone ordered the fire alarm on Saturday?
Like at the old fire hall?
Yes, outside. Yeah.
Outside on the pole.
Do you know where we can get the pin?
The glass pins.
Yeah.
We could check into that.
Yeah. Okay. But just set off the one inside the alarm inside.
The outside, I heard that's what Mike Nadu told me. He called me, actually happens, and he told me that outside.
Hold up, the pole, God. I put here at my place.
Well, you're lucky the pole's not hooked up. You'd really run it.
Oh, yeah, the outside.
You might be able to find something like that, Jens, if you, I recommend you reach out to, like, Total Fire or something like that. New fire hall. All systems and services are operating as expected. No operational concerns at this time. Operation and maintenance manuals were received from Yukon government on February 27th, 3 years after the building was assumed under municipal responsibility. Thank you to YTG. Thank you, the staff, for following up on that. Administrative building, all systems, services operating as expected. Public works shop, equipment and processes are back to normal. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Inspection.
For
the building here, for the boiler, I don't know if you want to put a slide now or it's here in the...
Yes,
sir. Oh, it's attached in the agenda, like the quote for...
I've seen that quote come in the prepackage.
Yes.
What is that regarding?
That we passed a safety inspection.
Okay. For this building.
For this building.
Administrates. Yeah. Thank you. I thought it was a quote for something, but I did read that it was like the draft. Right? If somebody's working on this, like the responsibility of whoever's working on that, that's the piece, right?
Okay.
Yeah. It was from last year, remember when we got the notification? Yes.
Yeah.
And then the electrician, Adam Greenwood hired, he backed out because he said it's too much work.
Right.
So, and then, yeah, we got a quote from Arkwright and they are willing to do it. But in order to do it, maybe I can mention right now, we have to amend our provisional budget because we didn't know that's this much work. Right. Yeah.
Then that's why it's in this line here? A4. A4, okay.
Yeah.
Public workshop. Yeah, like I said, everything's normal, back to normal. We're doing snow clearing and sanding. Thank you, Jens, sincerely to your team and all the efforts on the road conditions. It's yeah, very much appreciated. Fleet here, as requested by council at previous meeting, quotes were obtained for two additional dealerships. These quotations are included in the agenda package to review. So this is what you just hand us here?
That's a different one.
No.
Okay, so where are these? I don't have it on.
Yeah, it is none.
It's near the end. 8.2.
Oh, under 8.2. Oh, we'll get to it later.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Jens. Bylaw report. February 20, 2026 summary of activities. Dogs at large, these are the occurrences caught within the village municipal roadways and one on highway. Says 6 month of February. Aggressive dog complaints, 0. Traffic bylaw violations, 1. One complaint regarding vehicle on municipal roadway with snow chains.
Are we overly worried about that? Like, I don't think we have to overly worry about that this time of year. The roads are frozen and there's ice on the road. Like, this time of year, I don't think it's a big deal.
The issue is that there's a designated road for them to take if they're going to Mount Nansen or Frigal. 2 is that it leaves the indents in the hard ice-packed road that we're driving on. And as you can tell by driving down River Drive, it's not very fun when you're hitting those.
Yeah, bumps. No, it's springtime. We're more, I'm not trying to say anything. Yeah. I'm just saying springtime is where it really, we worry. But the biggest thing that, the reason why I'm bringing this up is, the one thing I really know, chain up here, they're not even legally allowed to go across the Mern School Bridge.
Yeah. It's so I asked Blake to look into that. Maybe I mentioned to Prince too about some signage or what that looks like. But that bylaw for the roads, and that will be coming to review. So maybe that's something that we look, because right now we don't have any signage on what that is, right? So that's why it's happening.
But I think it's even on the, I think there used to be a sign right at the bridge. No lugs allowed on bridge.
But part of the issue is if it's on a fuel truck that's pulling into 15 driveways, in and out, in and out, in and out, right? It's really tearing up the road that we've had Public Works and the whole team plow the road in conditions that cost us money, right?
I can't see why a fuel truck, like a delivery fuel truck, would need chains in the community anyway.
Well, I personally talked to one of the drivers that had chains on, delivery, but they don't pull the hose from the road anymore. They want to drive in the driveways, and they can't get in the driveways without spinning out if they're empty or close to being empty. That's what their statement is. So, yeah.
Well, I never do that. Well,
has anybody driven across that bridge lately?
Yeah, it's once it gets hard like that, it chips up, right? And that's why it's wood under there. It's not holding that, like the road would. And mm-hmm. freeze point? Yeah.
That's good.
And if I believe if Public Works digs it out, it's going to have a big drop. Like where you go down onto it.
Be the other way around?
Yeah, it's going to have like a speed bump at either end, right? If they clear it.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
That's a speed bump.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah. But it's like,
yeah. It's a good... It just recently got worse in the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
It is good when we get a little bit of snow to kind of fill those voids, right, Dennis?
Well, trust me, Pat's made comments. I keep saying if they jacked it up an inch, well, maybe more now, but back then, that bridge just needed, it just surely was falling quite a bit.
Yeah, could hear the
report. Yeah, I can
hear it at my house.
I had some kind of hear. If
anybody's crossing the bridge.
Yeah. If someone's going fast enough, I hear it at my house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on here. So that was traffic bylaw violations. Assist RCMP want. He has some pictures attached on his report. It was something on the highway, I believe. It was like a car broken down or something, or a truck.
Yeah, the truck. I don't know what the picture's about, though.
It just says assisted RCMP on highway.
Oh, this other one. Yeah, that's
traffic assisted with a motor vehicle incident on the highway with municipal limits, provided scene safety, directed traffic, facilitated vehicle recovery to ensure safe road clearance. And he talks about the highlights here, coordinated with the conservation officer regarding animal control concerns, responded to multiple public inquiries relating voluntary dog surrenders. Then he says community safety portion of this was provided presence at the recreation center in support of alcohol control measures to maintain a safe public environment. I believe that was at the Curling Bondsfield. So thank you, Neil. So then we're jumping into these quotes. Are we doing, is that for later?
Yes.
That's not part of bylaw.
That's 8.2.
Okay.
6.7.
Okay. Association of Yukon Communities member, Councillor Wheeler.
Zoom board meeting this Saturday, and any resolutions that we might want should be in by next week, I think.
Okay.
I was also thinking, we haven't had a fire chief's report for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's been a long while.
Blank, can you look into that, please?
That's true.
Thank you, Councillor Wheeler.
That's true.
Bylaws, seeing none.
Maybe we should have it under the list of reports. That way, be documented when there's no report.
I'm not going to speak on it. It's not my job right now. Yeah, we're doing ladder training. We did BEA training. We did a water transfer.
Yeah, well, it's good to have it in part of the package for minutes.
We're going.
Yeah.
Do you think that there would be any openness to AYC to postpone, extend the deadline for resolutions?
Yes.
Okay.
That'll be fine.
Because just thinking the territorial budget's going to be released on the 19th, and given some of the things that they're saying right now, there may be some resolutions that the municipalities may want to make, depending on what gets cut.
Cool.
It'll probably be fine because the AGM's not till May.
So you could send that email out.
Yeah.
You could pass that along.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
And Doris is part of the resolutions committee.
Okay. New and unfinished business, PATH project update. Blake CEO.
Cool.
Prince, did you want to speak to this one?
Yeah, as an examiner, we already got the third year approval, and we might not get for the fourth year, as we will not reach the targeted unit in time. So this will be the last year for the, and Jane and Mark, they will get back to us with what's the next plan and when we will open the, this year's funding applications, or how we want to allocate, if we have the bigger project or multi units project from corporations. So then it will come to back to council for approval and how we want to divide the money.
Jane and Mark will be available. They're going to be the delegation on April 7th.
So
April 7th. So okay. Meeting after next.
So can we find out when the actual deadline for the fourth portion of it is? So maybe there's a conversation we could have trying to push, you know, make a push before that due date to get the word out, you know. Maybe if there's something that we can do there to make the fourth quarter of that installment,
we can definitely
try everything we can to.
Yeah, we can definitely do it.
Okay.
They will make the decision after we submit the this year's reporting next year.
It's usually, I think, say Hawaii 8th. So. But yeah. But.
So they make the decision on the fourth quarter after you submit the third quarter final?
Yearly reporting will tell them how many units we are at. Right now we are at 27.
Yeah.
And we are expecting maybe 9 or 10 this year. So it will be 37. And in the last year of funding 2027, they need all the building and building permit, everything by November 27, 2027.
Right.
So everything should be done with the 2027.
Well, I thought it was this year, so there's one more year, 2027.
Yeah, but more. But
the cutoff is the year prior.
Oh, okay. That must be what I'm thinking about.
Yeah. So 2027 will be mostly the residents will be with the occupancy permit, construction,
finalizing everything.
Yeah, finalizing.
Okay.
It's like a 4-year project, so it might need some time to closing up to.
Right.
From both ends.
Okay.
Thanks, Bryce.
All right, Harry, 8.2, Public Works truck replacement recommendations. Public Works Manager, Jens.
Okay, I went to the Chevy and found like the brown one and the two boots, the brown one and the red one. The brown one is kind of, yeah, with heated seats and that my stuff is not freezing.
Mm-hmm. Poor Jim.
Then I went to Dodge and Kaiser, but that's car is too fancy.
Yeah, not a big horn.
Too much electronic, yeah. Dives on its own, and
yeah,
they don't need that.
I
the only question I have is I noticed that they're crew cabs. I thought we were looking to replace the one ton.
It's.
No. That's what they had like in the yard. They are always the same, yeah.
Okay, just want to clarify, Blake, the two different quotes. Like we had a proposed quote from bylaw, which we've already kind of reviewed something, or is that what have we done with that? And then now we're looking at a separate for public works. For to replace the what is it, 4500?
No, the 150.
150 the and one, 450.
A 450 and a 150.
Yes.
Okay.
Then we need the transmission done at the 450.
Right.
Yeah, I don't believe there was one put forward from bylaw.
No.
There had been before.
Oh, there was.
That's why. Last year. That's why he got that truck, I think. Before,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So for
my question again, My question again is: are these vehicles budgeted for in this fiscal year? Okay.
That's why Or you should speak up.
And when are we meeting, doing the budget meetings?
Yeah, the final budget. Do you know?
It's April, I think the first. Or we can meet like the last couple of weeks of March, I guess. Yes.
Yeah, April 15th, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they did it earlier. Now it's April 7th.
You have to check the
date. Yeah, we have to check. Yeah. They always change the dates, but I think it's early April.
Okay. In regards to the vehicle's usage as being one a maintenance vehicle, I believe, and one is suggested to be a service plow truck. Is that correct?
The service plow truck would be the F550, but we already have in our fleet.
Okay.
It's just adding a plow.
A snowblade.
So you don't have a snowblade on that vehicle?
No. We need a new... different mounting and
my question is in regards to the vehicles and their usage, as the budgeted line is not there. If the vehicle is being used for snow removal, I have a question on regarding the grader, like why?
Because we have a kind of a tire problem, it's always going flat. I already replaced two.
Yeah.
Actually cheaper than the older tires. $900, $1,000 each tire.
Yeah.
But I need to replace one more.
Okay. Like you see what my concern is that we have a piece of equipment that's not being utilized, but then we're looking at quoting and buying another piece of a truck that does the equivalent job, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So can we look into what the feasibility is of why we have this piece of iron if we're not using it, and then possibly replacing it with these other vehicles that are more utilized? Or what does that look like? Because we're going to be paying for
I think the vehicles. Truck is just so they have a truck, because the truck was like 7,000 the last time and 4,000, because this is one on the 550 that we already have. Like that's the snowplow.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is.
But this won't. This is.
There's no one for next year's. But yeah. I can't put it in a budget and then.
Well, why wouldn't we get the grader going for a tire? Like, why do we got a piece of equipment like that sitting there for a tire? Get a tire.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand on a budget perspective. If we're budgeting for something to pay money when we have a piece of
equipment
that's there,
that's what I'm getting at. Like. We're going to go and spend all this money for another piece of equipment, for a piece of equipment that needs a tire? That don't make sense to me.
Maybe I would suggest that...
probably a lot of tires for that price.
That Blake, you, and Jens, and Annette have a meeting about prioritizing the fleet on what is in use and what's not, because we did have an auction just not long ago, and if there's something that we can alleviate the pressure on the vehicles we're not really utilizing,
mm-hmm.
and then take a look at what we would purchase next, because we're kind of like flip-flopping on what we're doing.
Well, I guess, is there something that we're missing with this, Jens? Because I know that you had said at the beginning of this that it was really imperative that we fix, that we replace a truck, because my understanding
is too expensive to fix that.
And it's a safety issue.
And safety, yeah.
And we agree with what those recommendations are, but with the bus, with the grader, with whatever other machines are there, can we alleviate a budget line by dealing with those vehicles?
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then looking at these vehicles.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense to me. Yeah. Are there, I guess, I mean, maybe I'll just ask the question off the bat right now. Jens, do you feel like in the fleet that we have right now that there are pieces that we could auction off or that are...
Probably F-150 and then 450, but then we need to buy a new harness for the sender that we can put it on a 550.
Okay.
And the harness is around $1,000 and plus shipping.
Okay, so we can do up an inventory and basically present that at the next meeting.
So you were mentioning that you're getting a flat tire on the grader?
Yes.
Is there a reason why you've gone maybe through two? Do we know what's wrong with that? Why would
maybe too old and then too cold and then they came after them?
Ours do it all the time. We have to put ours back on all the time. It's a common thing. We have a grader the minute we move it, especially if it's cold weather, for below 30, pops off the rim, we bring it to the shop, we warm it up, grease it, and we get her going again. Yeah. But I mean, I've done tires a long time.
Last time when we bought a Tyson West, they needed two orders then. They told me, oh yeah, that's 1 week. And then they added nearly a month to two tires, yeah. To get it ready.
There's tubes in your tires?
Oh, no, 2 months.
2 months. Oh, 2 months. Old. Yeah, so I was going to say.
Who had it back?
Maybe it's just sort of look at them and show how to.
I think another question, just to kind of frame this again, is, you know, this is the third meeting that we've had about on like looking at numbers for you know, trucks. I guess I'm just wondering, is the, given that this isn't in the budget, that this is a like on top of the existing budget, is there, does that open the door for looking at lease, or are we, or is, you know, is the is it like kind of purchasing a truck or nothing?
I think that really the question at hand is the safety of the vehicle that they're using, and if they can get through what period of time before we have to make like a serious, like we have to buy a truck right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Like, what does that look like, Jens?
So do we fix it up?
Well, that's the thing is like,
$10,000.
I would like to see maybe from a net, the budgeted line for maintenance on the vehicles and where we're at with that. Then we, as the council, can make a decision based off that budget line. Because if we're over on that line, then we're not doing any justice to the budget at all. Like, it's, yeah. You know what I mean? We're working against that. Anyways.
Do we want to eliminate leasing as a possibility?
Well, we did look at that, and the recommendations were that what you could do with the vehicle and how much it would cost us might be too much, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Unlimited kilometers.
Yeah, we thought that maybe in the past that was a good option, but they just don't really do that anymore, right?
Yeah.
And they're limiting it to the amount of kilometers we're allowed, right. And then having to pay more on top.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. A limit that it's good to narrow the options down.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So yeah, that's what I would recommend if we could see the budgeted line for the maintenance of the vehicles, what that would look like. If we spend that money, or because like right now you don't have the truck, it's not in use.
Oh, he still use it.
He's still using it.
Just here in town.
I would say that Blake and yourself have that meeting of like that. What's that cut line of it being a safety issue for them not to be using that vehicle?
But the grader can do so much more work and better jobs on the road than this. So I would look to try, like I said, ours come off the rim.
I think that this is just a backup.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because this, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other one what we have for the 450 is kind of old, yeah.
Yeah.
We need to fix it all the time.
So you want to buy old junk? Because you never know what you're buying.
Okay.
That much.
Yeah. Can we put that on the next agenda and then have that information to follow so that we can get onto this?
Decision.
Yeah.
Decision must be made.
I think they already, I think you have like the grader when he came, they already had like what you call things in. What was it? Wow.
Yes.
They promised us new tires on it, but the
new tires won't make a difference.
All right. We're moving along here. Thank you, Jens, for helping us clarify some of those questions. Do you have any follow up on that, Jens? Do you have anything before I move on?
Do you have a preference on with all the quotes you've given us?
Let us say we go with Champion.
Okay.
I gotta say, I love my truck. It, yeah.
It started a 40 below in Whitehorse, no problem. I'm not plugged in, so.
Okay. Moving on. Compost program and closed loop waste management system update CAO. There's some motion here.
So the information is in the fee package. I'll just kind of read up the summary pieces. But so the village invested $41,215 plus GST to hire BBG to perform following services: performing a regulatory and permitting review for compost program operations, designing the compost collection system, including household bins, public drop-off, compost tent operational processes, monitoring and reporting framework, purchase and distribute household compost bins, conduct two public engagement sessions, construct compost program infrastructure, develop a compost management plan and operational plan, and train BSC public work staff on compost operations and management. The recommendations that they have in their report is to adjust compost operations as required to meet the compost management plan prior to spring thaw. BBG is available to meet with council and administration at their convenience should they wish to discuss long-term program management and future commercial integration opportunities. I'm going to ask staff to kind of help fill in some of the gaps on this, since this project took place in the fall and I'm really kind of playing catch up with a lot of this. So some of this makes sense to me, but a lot of it doesn't, to be really honest. So if I could, I mean, maybe I'll, Annette, I know that you had said that there is a, that the work on this went over budget and it ended up costing the village $29,000 more than anticipated.
Yes.
I don't know if you wanted to speak to that at all.
Yes, exactly. Yes, so I think it's a good idea to have compost, but not everybody is participating. And I don't know how to say this. Every time, like, is there, oh, there's this addition, or we have to do this. And actually, I'm not sure if it's working out just for having the compost, like, for residents. But then, like Jonathan mentioned before, like from BBG, that it will be a big issue if we have commercial compost, because we don't know how much, like, contamination is in there. So we probably will need more staff, I think, to look through it and take this out. So I'm not sure if this is sustainable or feasible to continue. So
Prince
can,
yeah. Yeah, you have some thoughts on this too.
More than I did.
Yeah, it's like that. I think he mentioned that winter weather, 4 or 5 months, we can't even do anything from once the snow is in. And now you can't tell, like, what's going on with the material. And it's really hard for public work staff to manage it when they throw it in there, and it's not, it's like freezing when even somebody do the composting winter months. So it's only for summer.
Unless we put it in a heated building.
We can't, then we gotta pay for the electricity or the fuel to heat a building for compost.
So the question I have in this regards to this project, like, right from the beginning, it was about taking the compost out of the dump so that the leakage of that material wouldn't hurt the water table or anything like that. So that was like the main part of the project. So now we've done that. We might not be collecting 100% of that, but moving forward with what the information on this report we have or whatever to the community would be collection of solid waste, recyclables, and composting. I think that would be the next piece that we look at to get information before we move on anything else to do with this management project.
So communication piece.
Yeah.
I guess just to maybe put a bow on this a little bit, Annette, you were saying that as part of this project that BBG needs to do an engagement session with the community in order for us to get the money back from the government.
Get the funding, yes.
Okay.
So that would tie in well.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And We have to do it this month because the project is ending March 31st. So I think Jonathan is trying to get a date, but we don't know like what works for you and what works for like the residents. So we have to
couple well, let's things. Let's make the date.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like yeah.
Okay.
He planned to come out, I think it was Friday, right? On the 6th.
Yeah.
So but it's like everybody and then during the day, so but everybody's work. That's why the other two engagement sessions we had for the compost was the staff, because they're all working.
Well,
yeah.
What do we got here? March. That's like the 21st work on a Saturday. Public engagement piece on a weekend, Saturday.
Okay.
Reach out to him and see if that date will work for him.
Yep.
And then I guess we would need to reach out to the rec center to make sure they can accommodate the public. And yeah.
First mention.
Yes.
And this is after, this is also, this will be following the JCM, so we can also raise it at the JCM just to kind of notify everybody. But yeah, I can, I'll talk to Chanel next morning.
Should give the public a bit of a...
bit of a heads up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll make sure that notification's going out properly.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay.
You said you need a motion for something, or what was the motion for?
It was for the next item.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Okay, here, 8.4, amendment to the provisional budget update finance.
Annette? Okay, yes. So like I mentioned before in my report, we got a quote in for like $2 million or building up to quote. So it came up like it was like when I got it, I was like, oh, so $12,000. But we only budgeted $3,500 for regular maintenance. And then I asked Blake to reach out to community services like, if we have to amend the budget. And they said, yes, we do. So we just, because we don't have or have a bylaw like we do in April, we just need to have a motion to amend the budget to get this fixed and be up to code.
Okay.
Because it's we actually passed, I think we had 3 months under last September or something.
Says on there.
Yeah. So we need to get it done.
September 19th, 2025.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the building inspector will come again and then he will close the building, which we don't want.
Okay. Okay. So the budget, do you have the budget line? What are we amending the budget line to?
Repairs and maintenance.
Like 12,000.
Admin building maintenance. Yes. Admin building maintenance?
Yes.
Okay. To $12,557.32 would be the total budget line?
Just for fixing this one?
And from then, 3,000 to 15.
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay.
So actually 15,000?
From 3,000 to 15,000, that will cover this work that we need to get done.
Yes.
I make the motion to increase the administrative maintenance line for the budget to 15,000.
Okay.
I'll second.
All in favor? That passes. Thank you for bringing that to our attention, Lynette and Blake. Snow dumping discussion.
It's gone.
Yeah. Who's?
Jen's.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, I didn't put in.
There's no discussion. Just a discussion. Yeah. I can talk on this. It was kind of brought to my attention just in general about the snow removal around town and piles building up. And I had a conversation, a phone call with Blake, just in regards to alleviating for the whole community. of a location that the VOC or the community can use as like a dumping site to remove either snow from your property or whatever. If it becomes an emergency situation, we don't have anything in place right now. So we kind of prompted Blake to look into this. Did you want to speak on what that is?
For sure. Yeah. Actually, we have Arbor tuning in for this one too. So,
Hi Arbor.
So I reached out to Jenna and Arbor and just asked about the gravel pit potentially being used as a place for snow dumping, just as an option. Two questions that were raised were which gravel pit, and is it something that would be kind of put out to residents to dump their own snow there, or something that the municipality would do? And I thought was the former as opposed to the latter, but I wanted to just verify.
I think it's both.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it would be, people should be eligible to dump the snow in on like a location site on their own time.
Yeah.
Being that some of the properties are low lying and they're worried about the snow.
Makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. And which gravel pit would it be? Sorry, my geography is, I'm still learning.
No problem. So just out here, like if it was available to have either one, but I guess that's the question to public and highways, to which is available and what those options look like. But closer to town would be, I guess, the better, but we don't want to create a problem in another location either.
I know our gravel pit has no more room with all the gravel that they have mixed in there right now. So I don't know how that would work out. Like, there's just no room in there. What's the name wants to get his cement thing out of there? Can't even get it out.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Arbor, do you have any comments?
Yeah, that's helpful to have a better idea of who the clients might be in terms of residents and also the village. So that's something I can bring back to highways for sure. And I can clarify which gravel pit they're considering, what they had in mind. Makes sense to have the closest to town, just yes. Convenience wise, but I'm not sure what their capacity is right now. So I can look into that tomorrow morning for sure.
Okay. Yeah. And I guess it'd be a bit of a, timing, because if we start, having issues, we'd like to know kind of sooner than later what that would look like. Yeah.
Makes sense. I can find out what the process would be. Next steps. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks everyone. The one spot that there might be a spot where Pelly had a camp. Where you go?
Yeah. I didn't think about that, but Arbor, there is, there's a location beside adjacent to the gravel pit that they used to build the bridge for Casino Way. There's a lot there that's cleared.
Okay.
So that'd be another option. I don't know. That's I think a YG parcel. I don't think it's a public highways parcel.
Pelly Construction had a camp. It was the Pelly did the road, wasn't it? They had a camp in there. And right now it's just a big open lot.
If you need to know that lot number, we could get it to you. We could have Blake email it to you.
Okay, great. Was it like a staging ground that was used for the road?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Good, that's an option. Okay. Thanks. Great.
Now
it's full of snow. It's not open.
I totally blanked on that you were here, but welcome to the meeting, and sorry about that. I apologize.
That's okay. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Okay.
So once we figure out where, maybe we'll also put a thing about dumping in public parks is against the parks and open spaces bylaw.
Yes.
Just so people are aware that it is not allowed. Or on the roads. Because you see a lot of people just plow it over to...
So that could prompt us to just maybe give a reminder about some of the bylaws regarding wintertime season on what you do with your snow and how we're trying to help alleviate some of that pressure for the public.
I think there's a few communication pieces that are coming out tonight. It's been perfect, good timing.
Yes. Is the Public Works paying attention on how high they're actually putting the snowbanks for safety reasons?
There's been a few comments this week on that front. Yeah.
Okay.
I think they're getting rid of some of it now. They're starting to. Yeah, I did see one. I think they were knocking down by Shirley's, I think, actually, her driveway.
They saw an act to amend a few things. Yeah. So I don't know if Jen is still here, but I know that they've been really active and responsive when people have come in. So.
Absolutely. Okay. And we encourage the public to make those contacts, to call the office or whatever that may be and get in contact with us. It's a safety issue, then it's definitely a concern.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Yukon Winter.
YG briefing update CAO.
Yeah, so this was so I just tuned into a finance briefing that was hosted by the Department of Finance. It's to provide a physical picture of kind of where the finances are right now. I think people have heard a lot through the grapevine that things are pretty tight. I don't know if people saw the ECO notice that went out a week or two ago saying it's worse than we thought, you know. So this is in the backdrop with, you know, BC's budget that was announced, which is kind of the, you know, biggest red ink budget they've ever had. We're seeing cuts across the board and provinces across Canada. The premier was on today too, and basically just said that this, he wasn't giving you any information about the budget, but just being painting the context for the way, like, the budget when it is presented. So I think just given the tone, we can probably expect a pretty belt tightening budget. In a nutshell, it's the Yukon government is coming up to its debt cap. So to quote the Minister of Energy, Mines and Resources at the Arctic Security Summit, YG is broke right now. They don't have, until they get approval from the feds to raise the debt cap, they have about 200 million or so to do everything that they want to do. That is kind of been the backdrop for the budget, which will be announced on March 19th. So Thursday after next. Right. So this just gives you a bit of a picture of kind of where things are at, why they're at. The big takeaways, I think, are that the big takeaways from this was that it's not that debt is bad, it's the trajectory that's troubling. And so you can see that with the green line in the graphic, the top left. And that tabling surpluses doesn't mean that there won't be cash deficits if populations continue to go up. And as you can see, we've had a pretty dramatic population increase over the last 5 years. So there is that factor to it. So wanted to just let everybody know that briefing happened today, and that we can expect probably some tighter times ahead.
Thank you, Blake.
You're welcome.
Okay, now meeting.
Do we know what the CPI is for this year yet?
I don't know if that wasn't in the briefing.
It was not. We'll need to figure that out for.
I'm not sure. Yeah, that's why I was asking. Because isn't it around this time?
Yeah.
I can take a look into that tomorrow.
Because that's the wage increase for the staff.
Well, I know what's happening over there.
April 1st.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
1.5.
Okay. Meeting with the Minister Belmore and Kent update.
Yeah. So, as it turns out, when after the last meeting, it was said, so Minister Belmore wasn't able to meet in person last week here. And there wasn't any other opportunity to meet in person until after session. So I went back to community services with what council had said about really kind of wanting an opportunity to connect with the minister ahead of the sitting. And so we were able to arrange a virtual meeting with the minister. And as it turns out, it was March 11th, which wasn't, I wasn't, you know, it was on, it's kind of, not the greatest because it was overlapping with the date that was picked for the joint council meeting. And then Kelly got back to me and said that the 11th didn't work for them. So since it was already earmarked here, it kind of worked out even better. So Minister Bellmore is able to meet virtually with all of you on March 11th. So that's next Wednesday at 5 o'clock. And Minister Kent will be joining her as well too. So both ministers will be there. We have the questions and the topics that were identified by all of you for Minister Bellmore's meeting. So I think those are pretty much covered. I'll send them out again tomorrow so you can take a look. But if there's anything new that you wanted to add, we can
Can we add another minister?
I don't know. Who did you have in mind?
Ted Lakey.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. I mean, I don't know. However, I'll since you're still here, I'll,
Ted really likes to talk, though. It could be a really long
Well,
night.
we'll have specific questions for the minister Lakey
Well,
in regards to energy.
I know that there were questions. So one of the questions that was asked by community services was about any questions that you might have for Minister Kent, in particular on education or housing. So I don't know if people wanted to put those forward now or if you want me to just reach out tomorrow and you can send them to me by email.
Council in emails,
Yep.
emails, written, anything you want to pass along, Dennis?
I already stopped in and said my 2 bits.
Okay. Yeah, if you want to stop in and talk to Blake, I guess that works too.
Yeah,
Yes. Works for you.
Education is not just the school, it's also early learning.
So,
Definitely.
yeah, I mean, if you're able to send me anything tomorrow, I'll send it to Harbor so that her team can send it to Minister Kent's office. But back to the question about Minister Laking, I don't know if Harbor, do you have any thoughts on that?
Is it too
I
late?
can, well, I can pass along to my DM that there's interest from council for sure. I'm
Okay.
not sure in terms of scheduling at this point, but yeah, I'll prioritize
Great.
that.
Yeah, I would say that I guess if the minister can't make that meeting, if we
A future meeting.
a future meeting, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So that thing, joint council meeting up there, that's it's not us.
Oh, so I guess I should probably add to this one. So the joint council meeting has it's from the based on the majority of feedback. Sounds like people are available on the 12th, which would be, I know most of the time they're on Wednesdays, but they said that this time the 12th would work for them. So I put it back to Kelly and she said that let's roll with the 12th. And so
What
we're
time?
5 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah, at the fire hall, the new fire hall. Yeah. And Mike and Dave and Arbor have been invited as well too.
Perfect.
And yeah, we can. Well, I've been working with Kelly to put together a draft agenda for approval. So,
Okay, so meeting on the 11th and the 12th.
yep.
Actually, that would be another. Maybe tomorrow when I'm reaching out to you, I'll also ask about ideas for agenda items for the agenda. If that works too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the one on
So
the
they'll
11th. I thought
vote
we
by
did
at
that
5 p.m., right?
5 p.m. on the 11th.
For that
Joint
was.
Council?
And that
That
was
was for the
here?
minister's meeting, and
Yeah.
that
Oh,
was
okay.
the key topics.
Okay. Well, we could just ask that right now.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be
Yeah.
great.
Yeah. Okay. So joint council meeting. We usually do like three topics. Did you want like generally it's been the same kind of topics. Is the
Mine is the sewer,
lagoon.
the sewer, the lagoon is the big
Yeah.
one.
And then DMAF is the
DMAP. Yeah.
that's been appointed.
And I think that one of the ones would be that I think that in regards to our composting, and so just maybe about the landfill, I know it's a good conversation to have about, you know, the service fees and things and what it might look like moving forward and the scale coming into place and stuff like that.
Service agreements for the pool.
Yeah.
If we're going to be doing budgeting, we'll want to know.
Yep.
If they're pitching in this year.
We talked about
pitching in on the
public safety. Public safety.
Yeah.
Do you want
to? Chris. And I guess there could be one, a emergency response plan or umbrella.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The. What's it called?
Is it saying
the Green Wildfire Reduction Plan? I'm getting the acronym wrong.
Okay.
Arbor, do you know the acronym for that? The Community Wildfire Reduction Plan or something like that? There's one draft that Heather said was drafted between the village and LSE. Made efforts on, but it was drafted in I think 2024 and it never went beyond that. So we at the sustainability forum, they said it would be really good for us to have like an active wildfire reduction plan in place. So that might be
the CWPP, the Community Wildfire Protection Plan.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Anything else? Okay.
Thanks. And then I guess maybe on this one as well too. I'll just say I'll reach out with tentative dates for the strategic planning session because I think that ties in with all this as well too. Jordan said he's good to go for end of March, early April.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, Paul.
Move on to a question period. Not seeing any. No in camera sessions. Adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you,
everyone.
Thank you, Arbor.
Thank you, Arbor.